What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 4th. And yes, we're going to talk about baseball. Kevin Gausman, my gosh, 6.1 innings of 6 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. He had 16 hard hit balls. What is going on with Kevin Gausman? To be clear, it's his four-seamer getting crushed. It's always been crushed a ton. It's more so, I think, this year. And it's not just the fastball that is just bad. It's more that the splitter isn't nullifying enough. The whole thing about Kevin Gausman over the years is that he throws a lot of four-seamer strikes, ton in the zone. He's essentially 99th percentile in both strike rate and zone rate with his four-seamer. But he's been able to get away with it a ton because he would have a splitter that has about a 22 to 25% swing strike rate. So essentially he nullifies it, where if you're going to sell out for that fastball, then you're just going to overswing on the splitter and you're going to get strikeouts, you're going to get whiffs, you're going to get deeper into the count, and so on and so forth. So here's the thing. Kevin Gausman this year, yeah, he's not getting the same swing strike on his splitter. It's 2 out of 23 whiffs in this one against the Orioles. And it for the season, it's about 15-16%. As opposed to the 22-25%. And because of that, it means you get more at-bats with balls in play on the splitter that doesn't end in a strikeout, which means you get more hits essentially allowed. And also, it means that the four-seamer isn't as... Well, the splitter isn't as scary. So you can sell out more for the fastball, and the splitter's a little more hittable. So if you do miss on selling it for the fastball, it's okay. The splitter isn't so bad. That's the problem here. And the Orioles really attacked this fastball. I mean, there was a home run from Santander that was above the zone at 0-2, like above. And that actually should be really good because Gausman's very flat with his release. This should be a super hard hit ball to hit. And he hit crushed it for a home run. I mean, it was just one of those like, oh my gosh. So when it comes to Kevin Gausman, I don't really think that he's actually that different. I think the splitter can very much show up for 11, 12 whiffs on a given night still. And I just think that you just keep going with him. But yeah, the home runs are still going to be this issue. The BABIP is still going to be an issue. So you kind of deal with it. The whip is going to be bad. The ERA should be generally okay, like 3.5, 3.6. And there you go. That's Kevin Gausman in a nutshell. I don't consider him an ace anymore because, yeah, you probably shouldn't start him against home run heavy teams like the Orioles, okay? Looking at other games, of course, from Monday's games, you have Eric Miller opening for Spencer Howard, and Spencer Howard won 4.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Spencer Howard isn't anything that you care about. I mean, sure, he survived against the Diamondbacks. He had a decent thing against the Phillies. We watched that one actually yesterday on the stream. If you're not coming to the stream, by the way, you got to be coming to the stream. Just go to the homepage between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern time every single morning. I answer all the questions. The community there is the best. It's just so fun. If you're at home and you're just working remotely, like, just put it on in the background. I'm serious. It's just the best time. You should come hang out and just talk about baseball and, yeah, have some nice lo-fi music, all that kind of stuff. But we watched Spencer Howard yesterday. No. He's not nothing that you want to go after. Bryce Wilson was also opened for, and 5.2 innings of 3 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He was also 1 to 2 ticks down on everything. Yeah, no. Don't go after Bryce Wilson. I saw he was really rostered in leagues because of like one good start against the Royals, and no, that's not it. Ace is going to ace for Zach Wheeler. He actually even struggled in this one a little bit. 8 base runners in 7 innings, but the thing is, he goes 114 pitches. And I got to say, it is so shocking to see a pitcher go over 100 pitches these days. And that's crazy, I know. It used to be like, oh yeah, 100, 103, like that's a typical thing. 95 is what we see now. No one lets anyone go 100 pitches except if you're Zach Wheeler or, say, Logan Webb. That's about it. And I gotta say, I appreciate it so much these days. I really do. Tyler Anderson against the Padres, 6.2 innings of 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. His Vargas role continues here. This isn't the most dominant start. 8 base runners and 2 strikeouts, but 1 run. And it's 42% CSW changeup. His cutter wasn't very good. The four-seamer was okay. That's it. He gets Houston next, which is unfortunate. I don't really want to go for that, but Tyler Anderson is really being like the most Toby this year. You have Grayson Rodriguez against the Jays. We're going to be watching him on YouTube right after I finish this podcast, so go check that out on the YouTube channel. He got the win against the Jays, opposite of Gausman, 6.2 innings of 1 run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. His four-seamer is being commanded much better than what I've seen from 2023. Even the last couple starts have been upstairs a bit. There was one that was a lot of few strikes, but it was all upstairs. And the last two have been better. The real thing, though, is just can you get those sliders and changeups properly down? It's the last element for Grayson Rodriguez to excel. He had like a strikeout. That was really nice of a changeup down. Great. But he needs to really expand the entirety of the zone. He has to change eye levels more to be not allowing all these hits on his four-seamer. He has a high ICR on the four-seamer. Why? Because he doesn't have that tunneling. They just look in one area, which is just generally upper third now. So he has to get that changeup, has to get that slider down. It's not there yet. I hope it will soon. Matt Waldron against the Angels, 6.1 innings of one run. Oh my gosh, the knuckleball was amazing, right? Two hits, zero walks, four strikeouts. He had four whiffs and 21% CSW, Matt Waldron. The knuckleball was horrible. 13 strikes on 31 thrown. 42% clip. That is so bad. He did not have it. And this is why I say the phrase, don't trust a knuckleballer. But the thing is, Matt Waldron maybe is a little different. Because he had sweepers, four-seamers, and sinkers to be like, oh no, okay, hold on a second, I have to adapt. And because it's Angels, he went 6.1 innings. There's something to be said about that with Matt Waldron. And maybe I call him a cherry bomb. Maybe I say he's a little bit better than that because the knuckleball can be so good. And when he doesn't have it, it isn't like the worst arsenal underneath as we've seen from other knuckleballers in the past. Something to consider. Against tough teams, he still is much more of that cherry bomb because if the knuckleball is there, it's great. If it's not, it's not. But against teams like the Angels or so, maybe it's all right. The Angels won this game, though, so no win for Waldron, unfortunately. Tarek Skubal went against the Rangers. Ace is going to ace. 9 base runners, sure. But yeah, six innings of one run against the Rangers and 6 Ks. Cool, we'll take it. Nathan Eovaldi going his second start back. And if you remember, for those that have the have Peel Pro and you have my sit and start grid for the week, I had Nathan Eovaldi as a probable start. Why? Against Detroit, because this was his second start back, he threw under 40 pitches in his first one. Guess what? 71 pitches. And he got nearly 6 innings. Unreal. I should have said he's going to be efficient, right? I should have known this. 5.2 innings of 100 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. He had a King Cole, 39% CSW. And guess what? Eovaldi, a guy who has at times been like a 94. We're like, hey, cool, we're 95. That's fine. Oh, hopefully 96. Eovaldi was 97 on this. Maybe he's airing it out because he's been gone for a bit. But man, if he can actually stay at 97, maybe he's actually healed. Probably not. It's probably going to like slow down to like July or August or something. But this is cool. I'm happy to see that. It's probably fleeting. Splitter looked great as well. We have other guys to talk about from yesterday's games and, of course, today and tomorrow's starters to review. And we're going to talk about all of that after this break. Ryan Nelson got the gold star for going 7.2 innings of 200 runs. Even though it was against the Giants, it's still a gold star because we didn't really expect anything by Ryan Nelson. 6 hits, 0 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? 4-seamer shape, not good. It used to be good. It is not anymore. And then the cutter is not being the pitch we want it to be. It's frustrating because I could see the path of Ryan Nelson developing and becoming the guy I want him to be. And this is what happens every year. We see those hints of players being their best selves, and we just don't know if they're going to go in that direction or not. And unfortunately, Ryan Nelson has not. Even though this was a good result, the skills are not good. Andrew Abbott did well against the Rockies for a win. 6 innings, got a poor quality start, but 8 base runners and 6 Ks. We will take this in cores for Andrew Abbott. Peelbot got the win because it is that quality start and a win. I don't really think that he's doing much that is too encouraging. He did get whiffs by doing the Blake Snell blueprint at times. His 4-seamer got whiffs upstairs. Secondaries got whiffs downstairs. That's for 13 whiffs. But overall, very chaotic. Like, very much so. I don't really know where this pitch is going kind of thing. Kyle Gibson against the Astros. 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 8 Ks. Gave you a Philly. Unfortunately, couldn't come through like Andrew Abbott did. 15 whiffs for a Gallows pull is very interesting. And this was against Houston. And maybe I'm undervaluing Gibson. I've been labeling him as a cherry bomb. But the sweeper has been more consistent than I expected. It's 11 over 32 whiffs. And he did go around the zone as a neckbeard, which is why you have those 3 walks. 300 runs, a little unfortunate, but he gets Rocky Road next. Kyle Gibson might actually be unlocking something that is more stable. And finally, I'm going to recommend a Cardinal starter outside of Sonny Gray. I know, shocking. I mean, Andre Pallante maybe actually also Rocky Road on Sunday is a very, very sneaky play. We'll talk about that one later. We'll see how he does against the Astros tonight. We have Justin Verlander against the Cardinals. On the other side of that, 5 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. No! Just too many pitches down the pipe that were too hittable. We had 2 hung breakers and then a low 4-seamer, which is not Verlander's way, all allowing a home run. Three home runs for Verlander is just unfortunate. He gets the Angels next. Expect a rebound. If he didn't have those home runs, it's a good start. So it goes. Home runs are the bane of pitchers. Tyler McGill against the Nationals. Very disappointing game. Is opposite Mackenzie Gore. I'm just going to get Ryan Feltner out of the way. 4.1 innings of 800 runs. Don't do that. The pitch quality of him, too, like Ryan Nelson, not looking good. Just don't do it. Maybe Coors is affecting it. No, just don't do it. Okay. Tyler McGill and Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore, 4.1 innings of 600 runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, 2 Ks. I got a really good question from chat saying, hey, look, Nick, you said he was singled out. 7 hits here. And he had high expected batting average hits, though. How is this singled out? And I'm going to say singled out because he threw good pitches, and those resulted in singles. And the batters performed well. So I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say singled out when I think the guy pitched well on the pitches that allowed hits. But Mackenzie Gore did not pitch well overall. His secondaries were just not there for him. And that meant that the four-seamer needed to do much, and they hit those four-seamers. He got singled out because of that. But maybe I shouldn't have used singled out because overall the skills were not as good. He had 11 base runners in this one. Just not a good game for Mackenzie Gore. It's the first game all year they'd allowed more than 300 runs. In the last two, he had 4 runs, got pulled with the bases loaded. 2 more came in, I believe. Actually, it might have been 3, and then the bases loaded were all scored. I don't remember. Regardless, bad game for Mackenzie Gore. Expect a rebound moving forward. Even against Atlanta, I think he's so much better than this. This just was not his day. Tyler McGill on the other side of it against the Nationals. He got a win, sure, whatever. After the first start against the Dodgers, I mean, he was throwing 96, 97. I was really encouraged that McGill was doing a lot with his secondaries to make those four-seamers better. Not it here. 42% strikes for Tyler McGill across cutters, sliders, and curveballs. Not it, okay? 5 innings, 400 runs, 10 base runners, 4 Ks. That's unfortunate. You know, you can treat this like a cherry bomb of like you don't know if Tyler McGill is going to do it. It is such good extension. It really is. 7.5 is just unreal. And think like Bailey Ober's extension, except instead of like 91, 92, it's at 95, 96. That four-seamer, if he locates it well, can just overwhelm at the top of the zone. But McGill doesn't do that. McGill can't locate it. And it's why I fall for McGill at times, because man, if that guy just gets zoomed in to everything starting in the same spot at the top of the zone, and then just throws everything like a fastball, like literally throw your changeup like a fastball, throw your cutter like a fastball, just play off of that and just aim for the one spot, I really believe that Tyler McGill can be excellent. But he can't do that, and that's it. I mean, it's kind of nuts. I kind of want to just be like, hey Tyler, have you considered this? But I don't know. We'll see. And McGill, I don't want to really go for you against the Marlins, but maybe it's a cherry bomb kind of thing, and the Marlins are just so bad. Like, maybe take a chance there. Looking forward to today's and tomorrow's games. No updates really from today. The main thing is that you have an opener for Colin Ray and Bowden Francis, but nothing else changing there. Tomorrow's games, you have Logan Gilbert and Aaron Nola. Actually, Aaron Nola is my number one play. Logan Gilbert number two, because he gets Oakland, does Gilbert, and Nola. It's the Brewers, but I like him a lot more. He's the only ace really going, save for Paul Skeens. But that's Dylan Cease first against the Angels at number 3. Skeens number 4, but it's against the Dodgers. I'm so excited for that game. That's just some fun. That's fun baseball. that's just some fun baseball. No, really, though. I mean, it's James Paxton on the other side. Fine. But Skeens against the Dodgers. Oh, that's going to be so exciting. You have Jared Jones and Tyler Glasnow today. Definitely watch that game if you can. But yeah, we'll see how that goes for Skeens. I think if you have him, just going to do it. Ronel Blanco also is an auto start against the Cardinals. That seems like a pretty clear one there. You have probable start tier of Carlos Rodon, Zach Eflin, Nick Pivetta, and Jordan Hicks. Those feel kind of weird because Rodon goes against the Twins. He's looking better, but it is Royce Lewis in the lineup now, so maybe that's a little bit tougher. You have Zach Eflin coming back from the IL. I don't know how many pitches he's going to go, but like we saw with Eovaldi, Eflin can be efficient enough to go 5 innings here against the Marlins without throwing too many pitches. You have Nick Pivetta against Atlanta. Hopefully his cutter is back there, but I feel like Atlanta is not too threatening right now. Jordan Hicks against Arizona. I feel Jordan Hicks is good enough as a floor. He's not facing the Yankees this time. Jordan Montgomery and James Santino are your Tobies against poor matchups or poor lineups, so that's a good matchup for them. And James Paxton is your win chance against the Pirates, even though he's opposite Paul Skeens. Questionable start here. You have Jose Berríos against the Orioles. The Orioles just terrify me. and I don't really know what we're going to get from the great undulator. Brady Singer is a cherry bomb. Braxton Garrett is a Toby, but also sinker and slider is all he's had, and he doesn't change up quite back yet, or the cutter, so I'm a little worried about that one. Jose Soriano is a stream pick of the day, is a cherry bomb against the Padres. You have Eric Fede against the Cubs, that could work. Joey Estes, I'm super intrigued by and almost made him the streaming pick for the day, 1% rostered against the Mariners. He has a four-seamer that he locates upstairs with a good IVB, and that could really overwhelm the Mariners. I'm super curious about that one, but it also could be like a five-inning, four-run game or something, so fine. Spencer Schmellenbach is someone I would consider adding just because if this works out well against the Red Sox, this could be the start of something solid because he's in a good situation, has a full arsenal, but his four-seamer shape isn't amazing. And it is at 96. And if generally if he's a command guy, which I think he is, Spencer Schmellenbach could be really exciting. So I would be picking up Schmellenbach as a spec ad, but for this one single start, it's very hazy, especially in Fenway. So do what you want with Schmellenbach. I would pick him up as a spec ad, though. Luis Severino against the Nationals could work out. You can go 5-6 innings for quality starts against the Nationals, but I don't like Severino and what he does. Albert Suarez is a four-seamer whiff guy. Without good secondaries against the Jays. The Jays are also a volatile offense, so who knows? It's a decent win chance, but then again, yeah, Albert Suarez, I don't really love trusting that one. He's not going to go six innings. He's not efficient enough with the secondaries. And Jose Urania against Detroit, he's more like a five-inning win chance guy, maybe six innings, but Urania actually has a good changeup at times, and he stays low with the sinkers, and he could find gloves and all that fun stuff. In the do-not-start tier, you have Logan Allen, I just do not trust against the hot Royals offense. You have Miles Michaelis able to go six innings, I guess, but it's the Astros. Kenta Maeda is a cherry bomb, and it's the Rangers. Dakota Hudson against the Reds in cores. I mean, maybe I should put that one higher up because Dakota Hudson can throw sinkers at fine gloves, and the curveball and slider have been decent. Graham Ashcraft at Colorado, same kind of idea, really. But, yeah, he's not very good. And Aaron Ashby is returning to the mound, which is really exciting. But it's in the Phillies, against the Phillies, and we just don't know where Aaron Ashby is, and just, I don't want to touch that. Patrick Corbin, don't want to touch it even against the Mets, and Chris Paddock, absolutely not against the Yankees. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.